We have reached 1998, and right knowledge is reaching people all over the world. The Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zedakio Edo is truly setting the record straight. Now listen to these facts, the voice of truth in these last days and times. The Nuwapian Nation of Moors brings you the man of the hour.
Horus is the Jesus that Christians are worshiping. They just don't know about the Egyptian mysteries. Jesus himself was educated in Egypt all the way until age 12. So Egypt, the teachings of Egypt is what Jesus himself was teaching. Where they get the word Christ from, or Christos, was from Hindu involvement. Hinduism spread also in that eastern area, and the word Krishna and Hare Krishna. When you say Hare, people say Hare Krishna. Well, Hare is the same as saying Har. Har is the ancient way of saying Horus, and identified with a mountain. Har means a mountain of glory or light, where Moses or Moses supposed to receive that revelation called the Torah. You follow? Which the Bible in Exodus and Deuteronomy makes it clear was written by the hand of God in one instance and the hand of Moses in another, supposedly. And I'll get back to the Madonna part. Supposedly Moses went up into a mountain, and in this mountain he encountered some what he considered Elohim or angelic beings sitting before a burning bush. And when he described the burning bush, he described it as a bush that was not consumed by the fire. What Moses or Moshe or Musa didn't know is that he was looking at a light bulb. When you look at a light bulb, you're looking at a fire. If you don't know what a light bulb is and you see the coil inside of it illuminated. And to date, they have found hieroglyphs on the walls in Egypt showing Pharaoh actually holding a light bulb, proving that it existed. So Moses went amongst up into the mountains of Sinai or Sin, where the god Sin's cult was, and there he encountered the Neteru, who the Egyptians referred to, who the Israelites referred to as the Elohim, or the Muslims referred to as the Allahumma, right? He went up there and he encountered these beings sitting there, or men from Egypt, writing the book of the coming forth by day, translating it into hieratics. That's the script of ancient Egypt, as opposed to hieroglyphics, which is a pictorial script. And Moses asked these men for a portion of that book to guide his lost people. They told him the people would have to be Egyptian. And Moses told them they are Egyptian. They were born in Egypt. They came out of the land of Canaan and dwelled in Egypt for over 400 years. And they spoke hieratic, the Egyptian language. They didn't speak Hebrew any longer. You follow that? So the deity responsible for recording doctrine, his name was Thoth or Thoth, or his real name is called Tohuti. They always portray him with a long beak. You'll see him on our road of deities. And that long beak is supposed to be a symbol of the quill or the pen that writes, because he was the master scribe. And he, with his hand, carved a certain amount of the commandments of the Egyptian Book of the Dead and gave it to Moses to give to his people. You follow? That's called the Torah now. And the reason why I say it now, because if you go into the books of Genesis in Abraham's time, and it says, "And Abraham lived by my commandments and my law," if you look inside the Tanakh or Torah in Hebrew there, you'll find the word Torah. So there was a Torah in Abraham's time from the Chaldeans that the Israelites copied it from. And the Chaldeans are Sumerian. Now, the Muslim world and the Christian world are not conscious because they don't read the Hebrew. They only read the Arabic or the Greek or the Latin, that the word Torah or Tanakh is in the Torah before Moses was born. Thus, that law existed in Abraham's time. And Abraham got educated in two ways. One, by a man named Melchizedek. and the other down in Egypt, where he presented himself as a liar and a coward before the Pharaohs, as we mentioned last week, being willing to give his wife over and say she's his sister. But obviously, those Egyptians that he encountered were already advanced in knowledge. They already had an empire set up. They already had an educational system, alchemy, algebra, already there in place. And Abraham got a portion of that, became his soul. And then Moses eventually got a portion of it and it became his Torah from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Jesus got a portion of it, taught it to his disciples, and it became their Bible, the Gospel. All of it was based around the God Amun. Thus, Muslims, Christians, and Jews end their prayer with praise to Amun by saying Amen or Amin. And then they'll tell you in Islam, well, Amun comes from the root word Amana, where they get the word Mu'min, which they say means to be faithful, to be loyal. But that's what Amun was, loyal to the Enad of ancient Egypt, which gave him the title Amun. You follow? And then later, Ra, the sun deity, was combined and became Amun Ra. But in that family of gods or deities that Moses confronted, other than Tahuti, they also had to come into Ra, Amun, but who else? Osiris, Uthir. And he was the god of hell, the underworld. You see, his brother wanted it set. Thus, his brother became the god of underworld. And this is why to this very day, you say the sun sets, S-E-T, when it goes down and darkness covers the world. And darkness is ignorance and darkness is that. This is where it comes from, set. And they portray set as a black dog, the jackal dog of death also. You got it? All right. Under Osiris was his wife, Aset, called Usir, the blessed mother of the god. You see, when Set betrayed his brother and killed him, Osiris, she was left without a child. You hear it? Now you can hear the combination of the Sarah and Abraham story, because Sarah wanted a child and Hagar had got Ishmael, and there was no one to pass the covenant to. You hear me? So they prayed to Yahweh, Elohim, that they may have a son, and eventually they got the son, Isaac, Jigsaw, or Ishak, okay? Now, in this same story amongst them, Isis has no son. Osiris, the highest god at the time, the direct descendant of Ra from the sky, is sonless. So she seeks out the body of Osiris, finds his phallic, his penis, and it becomes the tower of light in all religions. Let me come so I can speak to you. Right? It becomes the tower of light in all religions, the penis. In the Catholic churches and the Christian churches, they have these tall cathedrals. You see? In the mosque, they have the minaret, tall minaret. And the lighthouse, the great library of Alexandria, Iskandaria, we say, in Egypt, is marked by having the largest lighthouse in the world. And the light was supposed to symbolize the semen, or the light, like they put in the book of St. John, chapter 1, they say the light is the what? The light is the life in man, the Bible says. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And all men on earth and women came by way of this life and this light. So all religions, even today, have taken the ancient Egyptian symbol of the obelisk, which was the penis of God Osiris, you hear me? And she, Isis, symbolically mounted this obelisk and did what? Impregnated herself without the aid of a man. You hear me? According to ancient Egyptian writings, which predate the writings of Christianity and Judaism. Osiris's seed was put into Isis. How? How did it happen? Scientifically, we say artificial insemination. The reality of it is, they're speaking about, in a subtle kind of way, the immaculate conception, because no man was there. Do we find that story somewhere else? Yes, we do. We find that story in the New Testament twice. We find it not only with Mary, the way people push it, but we also find it with Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, the mother of John the Baptist, also was visited by an unearthly being called an angel, because her husband, Zechariah, was also too old to conceive, like who? Abraham was too old. And Sarah said, I'm old and barren, I can't have children. And they said, don't worry about it. So the obelisk needle, symbol of the penis, became the point from which religious groups of modern day Muslims and Jews call on their followers. The Muslims get up there in the minaret, put a finger behind their ear, and yell out, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the biggest, the most, the oldest. They say the greatest, but the translation is really Akbar, means biggest or oldest, Kabir. The Christians do the same thing, but they have a big bell up there in the cathedral tower, and they ring it, bong, and it means everybody to come to the church, the assembly, or the masjid, the prostration place, for prayer to God. But it came from the obelisk of ancient Egypt, the Benben. The ancient name for it was Benben. You know what that means? The same thing grafted in Arabic and Hebrew today. Benben, the son of a son. Ibn Ibn. They say, Ya Benai Israel, O children or sons of Israel, do such and such. The name of that thing was Benben, because it symbolized the production of that son, Horus, which in Egypt, in heretics, was said Har. Har, H-A-R. In the Islamic world, and in the Torah, in the Jewish world, they both agree that both Muhammad and Moshe went up into a Jebel, a mountain, Har. In the Torah, it's there, H-A-R, for the holy mountain. And in Islam, it says Muhammad went up in the year 610 and sat in the Mount of Har. You hear me? Har is short for Horus. They both went up at night after the sun had appeared to have set. After Set had killed Osiris. They changed the name from Usir to Osiris because if the brother wrote Osiris on the board, you'll find that the first letter is a symbol used to this very day as the sun. Around circles. You hear me? And this Osiris, God, who had a child by his wife who he did not touch sexually, is where you get your immaculate conception, your blessed Mother Mary, your Madonna in Latin. You hear me? But to go back from the mountain of light and the obelisk and the minaret and the tower, we go back to the name Horus. And that's why I said, the Hindi say Hare Krishna. You hear the word Hare, Ha, and then Krishna, Christ, Christos, anointed one, Mashiach or Messiah. The word Messiah, Mesa, believe it or not, is alligator fat in ancient Egypt. Because they used the alligator fat to make the oil that they anointed the Egyptian messiahs with. So even the word Messiah And Mashiach is an Egyptian word, Messiah. The word Moses, Musa, or Moshe, be it used by the Latins, the Muslims, or the Jews, is from the Egyptian hieratic word, Mos, to be drawn out of the water, simply. He was Thutmose. That was his Egyptian name, Thutmose. Because as Mos, he was a student of the god Thoth, who was responsible for using his very yod, the Hebrew letter, the smallest letter in the Hebrew language, yod, why you see a lot of Jews, whether they are Hasidic or Sephardim, wearing a little symbol with a yod and a hey. That stands for hand of God. If you visit a synagogue and see them read from the Torah, you will see the Kohen or the rabbi literally take a stick, like a small staff, while another one holds the Torah and has a hand just like this. And he points, he dares not touch with his own hand. He points to the words of the Tanakh and he reads from it. That's the hand that carved the Torah. That was the hand of the Egyptian deity, Tahuti, or Thoth. Combined, we get Thutmose. You hear me? Who gave them their Torah. Now, they may have forgotten that, but as I said last week, their God never forgot it. Their God sent them Yahweh, who also gets his name from Yahu, Ohi, and who is also a hieratic word for the creative source of will. Not the creative source of life, but the being that gave mortals willpower, self-determination, when men became their own gods in Egypt. So Horus, again, identifies with horizon. What is the horizon? The horizon, or the horizontal layer from which the sun appears to come over. And when the sun comes out of the darkness where it has set and comes back to life, it has resurrected back to life. You hear me? It comes over the mountain or over the sea. And people who look at the horizontal planet, apparently, and watch it appear to rise as a scarab pushes it through the sky, they watch the light of it move across the water. And they say the Son of God is walking the water. And if you stood at the horizon and watched the sun come over the water, you could actually see the water, the light, and stand there and the light will come over to you and bring you what? Life, eternal, warmth, growth. Because that's what the sun, that sun right there brings. Without that sun, there is no life. Without that sun, there is no Jesus. Because even Jesus was marked by a star in the east that the wise men, the Magus, followed. And anybody that knows anything about astronomy knows that a star is a sun. All stars are suns. So they were marking the motion of a sun for the birth of a son. They marked the motion of a S-U-N for the birth of a S-O-N, a son of a son, a Ben-Ben, where an artificial penis was used for the immaculate conception. The son of a son was born. The son of God, they say. But Jesus, to rectify that, as the brother said earlier, made the statement, all of you are gods. But Psalms clears it up and says, but children of the Most High. So don't start ego tripping on your God, because the Most High can click off the sun. And if he clicks off the sun, within 48 hours, you gods will be dead. You understand? It goes deeper than that, you see? So Mary is no more than Isis, our mother, our blessed mother Isis,
while in Egypt. When we were in Samaria, she was called Ishtar. And Osiris was our heavenly father. He was our link to Ra, the sun, the life source. And in Samaria, he was called what? Damuzi. And Damuzi and Ishtar had a very special son that they called Tammuz. And that's why the Babylonians have on their calendar Tammuz. And the Jews, when they left out of the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebu is a Sumerian word, they carried that title, and it's in the Jewish calendar right now. Tammuz is still on the calendar for that God, that Messiah that the Jews are waiting for. And it tells them in the book of Ezekiel that the women of Israel sat in Jehovah or Yahweh's house and cried for Tammuz, right in the Bible. The Israelite women were crying for a Babylonian God. It tells them that they left the worship of Yahweh and worshiped the God Baal or Baal. Baal Hadad, a Babylonian deity, and that's also in their doctrine. They've turned the word Baal around in Hebrew when referring to Abraham. And right in your Bible, you see Lord. It said in Abraham, my Lord. In Hebrew, it says Abraham, my Baal. Hear that? In other words, it started off amongst the Sumerians, moved on over into Egypt, and the languages changed. And as the languages changed, the pronunciation of the name changed. That sounds complicated. Let's do it like this. Isus, Greek, Jesus. Isa, Arabic, Jesus. Yeshua, Hebrew, Jesus. Jesus. You see that? These can all be thought to be different people. But you stop there because all they gave you in the Western world was the Latin, the Greek, the Arabic, and the Hebrew. You didn't go to the Native Americans and find out what they were calling the Messiah. You didn't go to the Sumerians and find out what they were calling Jesus. You didn't go to the Egyptians to find out what they were calling Jesus. You stopped at the books in English, because that's all you could read, of course, in most cases. You follow? And languages influenced by the Western world, like French and German, they just took the phonetics, changed it around a little bit for the pronunciation. Jesus is not, Jesus is the Latin. Okay, same thing. Changed it around, but that's a Roman influence. Right? Changed it around a little bit, and you people are just saying Jesus with a pronunciation or an accent. You meet a person from German, they may pronounce Jesus a little different than you because of the letters in their alphabet. It'll be the same person. Now, why are you forced to stop? And why is it made to look like you're doing the wrong thing here? When we say, they say, are you a Christian? I say, sure, I'm a Christian. Isn't everybody? But what do you mean by Christian? Do you mean Christian because of Christos the Greek? I'm not Greek. Do you mean Christ Christian because of Jesus? I'm not a Roman. You see what I'm saying? Do you mean by the Hebrew Yeshua? I am an ancient Israelite. Do you mean by the Ishmaelite version, Esau? I'm an ancient Ishmaelite. Do you mean by the ancient Egyptian way, Horus? I'm an ancient Egyptian. Do you mean by the Sumerian and Chaldean and Babylonian way, Tammuz? I'm an ancient Tammuz, Babylonian, and Chaldean. And I moved because I was a Bedouin, a wanderer. I even inherited the term Arab, because Arab came from the word Araba, to move about. Today, in Arabic, a car is called Arabiya. Arabiya, that's an automobile, or Sayara. But Arabia is the most common term used for, and it's the same word, Arab, to roam about. Some of us here, based on our features, come from Africa. Some of us come from Europe. Some of us come from South America, Latin America. So if we all was in one place in the planet, Uganda, which to this date anthropologists have proven where real life began, then we all must be Arabs in the sense that we wandered. We all must be Bedouin because we moved, regardless of what complexion we are today, those from this planet. Of course, there are visitors here doing their job. And if we wander to different places where we picked up different dialects, then we are going to refer to our Savior in our own dialect. I may prefer to call my Christ Hard. I may prefer to call my Mary Isis or Asit. And I may prefer to call my Father who art in Orion skies. And if you looked at the map of the Dendora astrological chart by Hathor's temple, you'll find that they had logged the astrology signs, but they didn't use the ones, the zodiac meaning animals, they had called Dendora. You follow? And Osiris is there, a man with three stars at his belt, referred to as Kisil, or the Orion belt, where the three great pyramids of Giza, and they line directly up with them. You hear me? So Tammuz, or Horus, who you love to call Jesus, which is all right with me, because that's the language you speak, and it's in your culture. Why is it mine all right with you? But let's keep moving. But Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. He did not say, our Father who rules the heavens. He did not say that. He said, our Father who is in the heavens. You understand? And that made a kind of a statement to a man or a woman who's thinking, because he didn't say he was the omnipresent. See? He made himself a meager point in space and time by placing himself inside heaven, not as heaven, you see? So the very statement, our Father, Jesus said, pray this way in Matthew chapter 6, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, was a subtle confession that the Father he was talking about was in a heaven. He was not the heaven. He wasn't the whole thing. And then when you go back to the doctrine that predates Jesus' doctrine, which is the ancient Egyptian doctrine, and why is it so important? Like I say many times, because the God of Jesus sent messengers of his own to the stepfather Joseph of Jesus when there was doubt about the safety and well-being of his only begotten son to them, because he was born in a time where a wicked ruler named Herod wanted to kill the firstborn of the house of Israel to make sure that king, see, because the Magus or Magi said, we heard that what was born? A king. They didn't say a Messiah. They didn't say a Christos. They said a king, a Melech. And Herod was worried about that because he was the, if they would have said a priest, it might not have bothered Herod. He would have said, well, send him to me so he can become my priest. But no, he wants my throne. And so I will kill all of the Israelites to get to this one king that y'all think is so great, that you came from Persia, you came from Arabia, y'all traveled all the way across the world to see some kid in my kingdom and didn't see me first. You hear me? Disrespect. That's what he felt. So Herod wanted this kid dead. You hear me?
Be upset. Just be set.
God must have known that he, as an individual, listen close, didn't have the power to stop Herod. Think about that. That's a very heck of a statement to say God couldn't do a thing. God must have felt he couldn't stop Herod by snapping his finger or waving his hand. Why? Because if he could have stopped Herod by merely snapping his finger or waving his hand or making an earthquake in the land, or floods, or famine, or pestilence that would give Herod something else to do rather than concentrate on this little boy, he would have did it. God's only approach was, take my son and hide him in Egypt until what? Until Herod dies. The God of our ancestors made people die and made people live. And that's why he could send his messengers to Sarah, who was long past childbearing, and say, don't worry about it, because we got connection with the Heavenly One. Next week, next year, when I come back around, you'll have a son. Did you have one? So he controlled life. Also, that same God, in that same time, told Lot, don't worry about it. I'm going down to the land of Sodom, and I'm going to wipe their asses out. Just like that. And he went down to Sodom and he did what? Now that God, who it says in the Bible, in Genesis, said, I'm going down there. Let me, come on, let's get, let, in fact, he said, let us go down to earth and see what those earthlings are doing. He was in heaven. Because if he was heaven, all of heaven would have came down with him. He said, let us, a group of us, go down to earth and see what those mortals are up to. He came down here, and he didn't like what he saw, so he confounded or dumbfounded the tongues. That's what they say. Ain't that what they teach? Now, that God also had another limit. Bear with me. Be patient. You might not like what I have to say, but truth is truth. Why did he have to come down to see it? Why couldn't he have saw it from where he was at? Who were those beings moving with him? How much power did they have? He said, come on, y'all, let's go on down there. So that we could see what the humans are doing. And he got here and saw the humans was messing everything up and had the power to turn a language into dialects. And this God, bear with me again, don't get mad. He didn't set out to set the record straight for the better. He said, let's make them confused. Shouldn't have been the other way around. Shouldn't he said, let me unconfuse them, set the record straight, show them I'm the man, or do a Sodom and Gomorrah on them. These gods of your Bible don't have the kind of power that the Christian preachers and the Muslim imams and the Jewish rabbis are teaching you. These gods are limited to what they can and cannot do. You don't want to believe that because you'll be stepping on your own faith. But it just happens to be truth. The God that gave birth to Jesus through Mary did not have the power to kill Herod. Unless you have a different Bible than we read. And you may, because people are making them up every day. But from what I can see and what I have read, he told them, Joseph, take your wife Mary and the baby and go hide in while you come to us. Why you come to us? We are dog worshipers and idol worshipers and pagans as they may. Why you send your son to me? Huh? It's only, or it's unique now that they modernize it. Why did God trust us? You know why? Because that God had a previous experience with the Egyptian gods, with Moses. Because that God, that good God Jehovah, he sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt with some magic power. And they were going to take their God on their back and the strength of their God and take the staff that Moses leaned on. Aaron took it. Go back and read Exodus. It wasn't Moses like the preacher told you. Aaron took it and threw it down. Thank you. And it became a snake. You see? That was obviously what that God thought was good magic. Let me add something. He also must not have known what was in the head of Pharaoh. Because if he knew what was in the head and in the heart of the Pharaoh, he would have knew that the Pharaoh's men had the same magic. He didn't know. So Pharaoh said, yo, Rodney, come a couple of y'all, not one of y'all, a couple of y'all, come on out here and do this David Copperfield thing for God, for Moses. This is in your Bible now. You hear me? And the Pharaoh's men did the same thing, turned their staffs into snakes. Then they said, but Moses' staff ate them up. Fine. But why didn't your God know that Pharaoh's men, not God, had the same power? Why didn't he know this if he knows anything? I'll tell you what you better learn to know. You better learn to know that there's no God looking out for you. That's crap. That's why our relatives are still dying in hospitals sick. Preachers are dying. Just this morning they're talking about a church that couldn't have services on the news because it got burnt up. You know how it got burnt up? Chimney men cleaning the chimney ignited a bird's nest. Turn on the news and listen to it tonight, CNN. You think I'm lying? Ignited a bird's nest and burnt the church down. You hear me? In Selma, during Dr. Martin Luther King's time, some angry KKK men blew up a church with kids in it. With kids in it. Right or wrong? Am I making this up? I ain't making this up. This is real. Let's go back 5 months ago. All over Georgia, we had over 12 churches burned to the ground by malicious, demonic, devils, whatever you want to call them. That's not the point. So you got to watch how they help your mind up. That ain't the point. Whether evil did it, how did evil get a chance to burn down God's house? Where the heck was God? And then would you let people come in and burn your house if you were watching? If you could stop it? And are you in the image and after the likeness of God? So why was God set back like this here and watched them burn his house? Not once, but repeatedly. Remember those fires? Now the congregation has no place to assemble. Y'all better wake up, catch the real deal. You're sitting around waiting for nothing. You're waiting for something to happen that ain't gonna never happen. You are a believer. You have no facts, no confirmed. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There was an appointed time for Jesus to die? Exactly. Was it? Was Jesus born to die on the cross for your sins? Yes or no? According to Christianity, yes, he was. That he was supposed to grow up, get baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, right? And then become a willing sacrifice, willing to sacrifice his life for all of us that we may be saved, right? Ain't that what they teach us? Ain't no lie, I ain't lying to you. It's not my job. Lord, my job is to set the record straight before the great and dreadful day comes. Because they got us worshiping the wrong Jesus and the wrong God. When our God comes, we ain't even going to know him. They got us so messed up in the head. You hear me? He was supposed to die on the cross and resurrect for you as a sign of his power and his glory and his greatness. That's what they teach. Then the question comes up again. You with me? The question comes up. If Jesus was supposed to die at 33 years old on the cross, and God knew it, then why was he running from Herod? Why did he have to leave Jerusalem as a child? Because if destiny said that he was going to die on the cross at 33, and God knew this, and the angels knew it, then Herod couldn't have touched a hair on Jesus' head. Couldn't have touched him. Because destiny would have said, regardless of what Herod did, Jesus was supposed to die at 33. And we know that's a reality. You know how we know that's a reality? At least I can confirm it. I don't know about you, because I'm into right now. I got my personal facts, and I got people in my family and friends that can confirm it. I had a friend named Huey. You know what I'm saying? One of my buddies, we played ball together, we partied together. Huey. He was my sister's boyfriend. Remember the name, Huey. He lived on the 6th floor in a projects. You understand? I used to come there every weekend. We used to hang out from New Jersey. He used to drink abundantly. Basically, he used to get funky drunk. They cut the crap. Huey fell out of a 6-story window in the Marcy Project in Brooklyn. 6 stories. Nigga hit the ground, bounced. No, he hit bushes. There's a little help there. He hit them bushes to be around the wall, about this high, which should have scratched everybody. 6 stories, hit the ground, got up. He had some bruises from the bushes. This is a true story, I'm telling you. You know, my mother be here saving the day, corner and ask her. Now, if I lie, my mother's too old to lie, and she ain't got the time. Only if you got time for prepare where she going next. And so, got up, walked away. We was like, damn, you. I'm serious. I was like, how'd you do that? That was a great day to us. We was happy. Because as he was coming down, you know what we was thinking? Pizza. A mess. Didn't break a bone in his body. 3 months later, while standing on the stoop of the same building, which is no higher than that, he fell over and broke his neck and died. This is true. I mean, that may sound crazy, but you ask anybody that's been to Vietnam, how many friends of theirs made it out of Vietnam and then got back here and got shot on the streets or stabbed up by some punks trying to rob him. Nigga made it through the jungle. Made it through guerrilla warfare. Got back to Atlanta and 2 punks wanted his watch and stabbed him to death. That's how God works. God don't be giving you no list of what he gonna do. You just look around and it's done and you got to deal with it. Whether you like it or not. As long as it's the next door neighbor's son that dies, it's just But if it's your son, it's, oh my God, why? Oh Lord. God don't give no list. But you Christians claim that God made a list when it comes to Jesus, that Jesus was supposed to die at 33 years old on a cross, resurrect from that cross for our sins, and that we all should be saved because Jesus came to give us everlasting life. I don't know nobody yet with it. He's been gone 2,000 years. Everybody knows still dying their asses off. I ain't seen nobody this everlasting life. I wasn't no in the spirit. Jesus was in the body. So why would he have to die in the body to make a message for my spirit? The bottom line is, think again and work with it and talk to people who think they know. If he was supposed to die at 33 on the cross, why did he have to run from Herod? Why was he ducking the Nazarites when he came out the synagogue? Why was he running from them? They chased him. Why was he reluctant to go to that feast? Because he knew there were Jews and the Pharisees were there waiting to kill him. But yet, later on, he knew exactly when he was going to die. So, oh, don't worry, the hour has not come yet. When he makes the statement, the hour had not come yet, then it must have been a set time, a set hour. Right? So why would they run? Or did the angel make the story up? Was the angel an undercover Egyptian trying to get Jesus to Egypt? Well, the angel's pointing a lion. You hear me? They lied. They lied repeatedly. All those stories are our ancient stories as Egyptians. If you're looking for your Jesus, he is the son of Isis, Horus. And the Jewish scholars know it. And the Muslim scholars know it. I speak both the languages, Arabic and Hebrew, and it's right in their text, they know it. Freemasons get to know it if they stay on that road long enough. They get to find out it all happened in Egypt. The Rosicrucians call themselves Rosicrucians, Rose and the Cross, but their whole fraternity is based on Egyptian studies. Why? Why the Egyptian shrine? Why are they the daughters of Isis after they become an Eastern star and they travel further up the path? How do they become a daughter of Isis? Why Isis? Why not a daughter of Athena? A Greek deity or a Roman deity? Why are you in Egypt? Why is Plato talking about Egypt? Right? Why is Washington constructed like Egypt? The capstone of the pyramid. Whip out a dollar bill, somebody. Anybody. Can you do it? I know y'all got a dollar bill now. Thank you. I will give it back if you watch me. Thank you. That should change. Pyramid. Middle fire. Pyramid. That's what it means. The middle fire. The solar plex. Solar plex. Soul. Soul. What is soul? Sun. Solar plex. Where there's a central sun. And they show you Jesus with a heart putting his hand like this and holding his other fingers up like this. Pointing at the heart, the sacred heart that the Knights of Columbus, who become Alhambra, who become Egyptologists for the Catholic Church, and a light is around it. They put a sun, a circle of Osiris, around Jesus' head and call it a halo. A halo for Heliopolis. Heliopolis, halo. You know what? In Egypt today, the airport, the airport is in Heliopolis, where the planes come in and land. If you can see, they say the Netiru came to the city of light, Heliopolis. Halo around Mary, halo around Jesus, halo around. Now you look at the churches and you see the cross with a circle around it. You noticing it? What's that sun doing there? They don't have the S-O-N on the cross no more. They have the S-U-N on the cross right in your church. You look right up there, you see a cross and a round circle, sometime with lights. You go to a cathedral, you see a big window shaped like a penis, like that obelisk needle. A cathedral window, they call it. And a big circle of lights, different colors coming out, beautiful, what they call it, stained glass. Rays of color. What is that? The sun. You hear me? They tell you, we will assemble for God on Sunday morning. You with that? Church services is held on Sunday morning. Why am I at morning? Because of Isaiah. where Lucifer is called the son of the morning star. You are going to church on Sunday to worship Lucifer. Lucifer. Could you draw a cipher on the board? The same circle that's in your books for the sun. And if you put a cross through it, you see what's on your churches now. Crosses are on two things, seminaries and cemeteries. And in both places, the people are mentally dead. You with me? Why is an Egyptian pyramid, Mir as it's called, you notice the name is Mir? Do you notice the space shuttle that they're making a big fuss over? It's called Mir. Why? Because they're there on Mars looking for the pyramids next to the face. Right now, where they say, oh, there ain't no pyramids on Mars, there's life on Mars. In the New York Times, I got it on my desk right now, they showed a new planet in a new galaxy. We are presently in the 18th galaxy. They already said that, the Milky Way. The next galaxy would be what? Show sounds familiar to me. They say there's a planet there. I got pictures of it. Look and ask anybody from New York to send you down the New York Times. You know, I'll print it anywhere. That's that eye. The eye of Horus. You see that? The capstone. The Capitol building. And an obelisk is there. Daniel. And Abraham, father of many nations, is sitting there in the position of Ramesses. Ramesses is the one who beat back the Phoenician and Israelite invasion into Egypt. And Abraham, according to the Emancipation Proclamation, is supposed to free the Egyptians that are in America, you Moors. He did not free you. If he did, why do you need a passport? Why does someone got to give you a pass? I remember when I was in school, or shul, the Hebrew word for hell. Look it up. Don't believe pops. Check it out. When I was in school and I had to go to the bathroom where there wasn't no bathtubs, by the way. And I would tell the teacher, excuse me, which is already the question. And she should say yes, and then I could leave. Excuse me, she says, what to excuse me? In school, where people are supposed to be studying English. Excuse me, what does excuse me mean? It means let me go. Well, she says, what? I say, may I go to the bathroom? You with me? And she says, sure, here's a pass. I say, no, this is a present problem. You see what they do to your mind? They give you a passport to give you the right to leave America and then say you're free. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think the word free means freedom. I have the right to go where I want to, when I want to, and how I want to, as long as I don't hurt nobody. So how come I got to get a visa? Why I got to get something stamped? Why I got to get approved? Huh? Tell me why. Because you ain't free. Why can I work all week? Got that? Why can I work all week until I have WEAK and gotta wait to get my pay, or I gotta check out of work? Then I get this check and they say, hold it. Before you leave, we want some of it. I said, well, if I want them, you know, I say, well, excuse the bump out of me, but I work all week, every hour that you clock is my labor. You see what I'm saying? He don't just want a 10% of my labor. He wants 22% of it. My labor. I do the working. Even if I have a hot dog stand on the street that I build with my own hands. You understand? Still, he could take my hard-earned money. He can take what kind of taxes? Now, I get this check, let me transform it into a dollar, and before I leave there, they then took a chunk out of it. And that's supposed to be for taxes, you hear me? Then I get to the store, and I see a shirt that I want, and I go, I like that shirt. And I give them my money for the price of the shirt, and then they charge me taxes. I go out to eat, nice restaurant. You hear me? When I finish eating, I give the money and I want some more help. The reason why it says on that dollar, this dollar bill, you can read it to me. Let me show you the spot. What does it say, right? Right there. Read it out to us.
Federal Reserve note.
Yep, go ahead.
Why are they calling it a dollar
there and then calling a note there? It says, this note, I can write you a note now. I'll write you a whole lot of notes if you give me the dollars. I'll write some, how many notes you want? Get notes home from school? I'll write you a $100 note. You want to give me a $100 bill? They tell you this is only good for debts, not progressing. Say it again. This is only good for debts. Take a dollar out and read it. They never intended us to use this to progress. It says it's a legal tender for debts, public and private. I'm holding something that's only good to pay debts, not to buy anything with. I can't progress with this. You understand? That's how Congress set it up. Congress. All in the words. Maybe that's why St. John said in the beginning was the word. Because they got us trapped by these words. These lies, these tricks. I'm a farmer. And these people will take a percentage of the money that I make from planting food with my own hands on my own soil that's been in my family for 5-10 generations. They still want some of it. Now they're trying to tax the churches. They want to tax God. See? Are y'all free? Yes, you are. You are free when you establish that you're free. And you say, to hell with you, I got mine. I'm going to build mine. Now, I'm not going to disobey your law, because I'd be a fool, because I see how you got this thing set up. I know the word law is in the Bible. That's the Hebrew word for Levi. Levi were the priesthood of Israel. The ones responsible for worshiping the cow. And the ones also responsible for going out and killing all the Israelites that didn't comply to Moses' law. Even Jesus said in St. John's, let me get something straight. He said, the law came from Moses. Grace and truth comes to me, but the law came from Moses. I did not come. He made it real clear.
Egypt, all the way until age 12. So Egypt, the teachings of Egypt is what Jesus himself was teaching.